Welcome, everyone, to Love, Sex, and Anarchy. If I could invite all of you to quiet your voices, then we can have a bit of talking from the front and then a bit of shared discussion afterwards. My name's Jamie, and I'm joined by Carolyn and Jed. We'll each be speaking very briefly about our own particular passions and interests. We'll have a little break if folk need to move out of the room. We'll have a pause so that that's possible, and then we'll have questions and answers and a bit of discussion time before we finish. To begin with, I'd like to invite everyone to just, the book fair is quite an intense event, isn't it? And lots of exciting things are going on. Maybe just a moment to kind of rest and to listen to how we're feeling, to be aware that we're in a room full of other people who are also all feeling different things at the moment. Because for myself, one of the key connections between anarchism and sexuality is that real awareness of and capacity to listen to our own desires, to pay attention to how we're doing, and also to be aware of the desires and feelings and needs of other people. So maybe if we just have a minute to actually just quietly rest in this space before we begin, that might calm the atmosphere, might make for a beautiful beginning. So as I said, my name's Jamie, and I've been writing about and doing other things around anarchism and sexuality. I worked out for the last 9 years. I'm going to talk a little bit about the notion of queer. Queer comes from an old German word meaning to cross. Most commonly, at least in certain circles, it refers to crossing borders of gender and sexuality. All the ways in which human beings feel cannot be contained by neat and tidy categories of man and woman, gay and straight, or even transgender and bisexual. Sexuality and love, intimacy and desire, sex and gender can be chaotic, complex, anarchic. The state, on the other hand, is a pattern of control. It depends on keeping life boxed and categorized, monitored, controlled, and measured. My thoughts turn here to that famous quote from the German anarchist Gustav Landauer, who declared that the state is not a thing, it's not an object that can be destroyed. Rather, he said, the state is a relationship between human beings, a way by which people relate to one another, and one destroys it by entering into different relationships, by behaving differently to one another. For Landauer, for generations of feminists, and for myself, there can be no clear border between the personal and the political. It is an imaginary line to be crossed, to be queered. And I find it kind of harder and harder these days to be anti-state in a straightforward sort of way. Because if the state is a way of relating, a way of behaving, I notice that I do it sometimes. The state is something that I can do. And I think the state is something that all of us can do at times, that there's a certain comfort in attempting to control. And so for me, one way of queering anarchism is the practice of letting go of the state as a strategy, of learning to be gentle with ourselves and each other, to allow that desire to control to melt away, and to find other ways to communicate, to listen to ourselves, and allow a bit of space for other possibilities to arise. I'm rereading a book at the moment called Let Your Life Speak, and the writer, who's a kind of Quaker anarchist activist, talks about before rushing in to decide what you should do with your life, maybe give your space life to tell you what it wants to do. There's a lot, potentially, of normativity, of an idea of how to live, even within anarchist movements. What should anarchists be doing? What's the right thing? What's the most important thing? What should I rush to stop or fix or make better? And maybe having quiet spaces to listen, what is, for each of us, what is that thing that we have to give? What is our contribution? In what way can we cross lines and add something different? Might be a more joyful contribution than getting caught up in the what should change. And so for me, the connection between queer and anarchism, from my own personal approach, is one of gentleness. Thank you.
The words love, sex, and anarchy, for me, are part of a fantastic class of words. Words that have a very different meaning for every individual person. And one of the wonderful things about befriending people and speaking to people is trying to work out what you both mean by the same words, like how much you share and how much there is to learn, you know, how much you just can't communicate. And other words that fall into this category are a dream and real and freedom and safety and normal. And these are experiential, not concrete words. So maybe you've all come to this room wanting to talk about very different things. But for me, I can define, love, sex, and anarchy. And they're very, very similar definitions for me. Love is advanced getting on. For me, love's got to be consensual. If like just one person loves something else, but they don't love it, or they don't love them, then you know that's not going to become love. Yeah. So advanced getting on, consensual. It's connective rather than divisive. Ideally, in love, you know, you try and find common ground so you can communicate well. It's connective, not divisive, and it encompasses surrender, trust, faith, as well as accountability, responsibility, and questioning. So this kind of big, splatty definition, I'll leave it on the wall somewhere. Ideally, sex has all that too, in my own definition. And anarchy. If anarchy is a type of society, it's got to have some advanced getting on. It's got to be consensual. It's got to be connective, not divisive. And it's got to encompass trust, surrender, and faith, but also accountability, responsibility, and questioning. So there's potential for growth in that last set of words. That's really key. If it's a type of society, then, you know, as a whole, we're not there yet. So maybe it's a work in progress. Again, this notion of becoming, this notion of it's not fixed, it's not finished. It's just an idea we're all working with. If it's a state of mind, same goes, it's fluid. It's changing. And if it's a dream of post-enclosure, and I think that's a very apt term in my definition of anarchy, post-enclosure. So people talk about the history of anarchy as being about enclosure. Enclosure of space, enclosure of people, commodification of people, disempowerment. Yeah, it can be described about enclosure. Maybe some people really have the kind of anarchist history background to really agree with that. For other people, it might seem a bit gibberish. Don't worry about it. I think we can move on. Yeah, so there's my kind of my own lovely definitions of love, sex, and anarchy, and very similar. So for me, the connection is obvious and inherent, although it's also difficult to transmit because these are words that mean different things to everyone. And for some people, love does not mean that list of things. Love is about the one. Love is a mystery we're fated to. You know, love is, you know, people have different definitions of love, and some of them are extremely disempowering. Some of them are, you know, it's luck, or it'll work once or it won't, you know. And for a lot of people, it's about control. Love is when they'll feel completely safe because, you know, it's not about trust and growth. It's about a contract, rules, duty. Yeah, so maybe for most people, these definitions of love are very much kind of one-to-one thing. But the other thing to speak about love is it can explode, you know. It could be everywhere. We could be more loving. We could be more advanced getting on with everyone, not just the people, you know, that we find it easier to connect with, or that we're more attracted to connect with. So it could be everywhere. And that's a very frightening idea for a lot of people who have experienced love as dominance, separation, contracts, duty, rules, commodification, and inflexibility. So that was a great spiel of large words. So I've written them all down for you, and you can, you know, look around. And yeah, I think that might be enough. I think it might be helpful also to say that, yeah, I call myself an anarchist, and other people would call me a polyamorist, and I think I sometimes do as well, but that shifts, and it's that shift and flow which is important to me. And this definition of queer is shifting, it's moving batteries. For me, it's much easier to define what is unqueer than what is queer. What is unqueer? Who is unqueer? Are the people, the men and the women, who are trying to be this state-imposed, perhaps advertising-imposed idea of the real woman or the real man. They're trying to be that all the time. And when they perceive that they have failed, they like guilt themselves, shame themselves about it. The men beat each other up about it, maybe. You know, so it's easier for me to define what is unqueer than what is queer. So queer is, you know, just accepting this uncertainty. Unqueer is seeking this enclosure in labels and language. And we can all become guilty of doing that to each other. And the main practice of anarchy for me is an awareness of my language. When I ask people a question, I really try and listen to what they have to say and be prepared to be surprised. You know, try and really hear people, because everyone does have a more complicated answer to give. Answers are not simple, and they will change over time. So to allow that, to allow people to be individual and changing and shifting, I think that's one of the most beautiful expressions of anarchy, which I perceive in my own life. Thank you.
My name's Karen, and I'd also identify as an anarchist and a feminist. And as a feminist, I think a lot of the struggle to get rid of patriarchy includes the struggle to try and get rid of oppressive, abusive behaviour, to get rid of rape and sexual assault and sexual violence. And it is disappointing when that stuff happens within our own communities, and it's people who maybe call themselves anarchists or activists who still, you know, perpetuate those behaviours and carry out those sort of acts because of the society we've all grown up in. And I think it's really interesting how many different groups around the world have, you know, taken up that problem and tried to find different ways of dealing with it. Because as anarchists, we don't necessarily want to go to the police. We don't necessarily think that prison's the answer or that prison's going to change somebody's behaviour. We want to find other ways of dealing with these things, and ideally actually creating a sort of world where people do enter sexual relationships consensually and because it's something they want to do, not because it's something they're coerced into doing or forced into doing. And so over the last few years, we've spent a lot of time running workshops about issues like consent and safer sex and reprinting stuff and sharing ideas with comrades around the world who are doing different projects. And so I haven't done any preparation like Jed, but have brought some stuff that we've printed out, and I'm just going to pass some of it around. Hopefully it's enough for everyone in the room to get a look at it if you haven't seen it before. But we've got a stall upstairs, and a lot of these materials we've made lots of them on purpose, so that if anyone here is interested in taking that stuff away with them and using it to maybe start having conversations in your scene, wherever that is, about what a decent consensual sex is about, that'd be really cool. And I know we haven't got very much time today, so I'm not going to talk for much longer, but I'm really happy to answer questions and talk to people afterwards.